My scripture reading today is in James. So I'd like to go to James 4 and start with verse 1. What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is not the source of your pleasures that wage war in your members? You lust and do not have, so you commit murder. You are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. You adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whosoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture speaks to no purpose? He jealously desires the Spirit which he has made to dwell in us, but he gives a greater grace. Therefore it says, God is opposed to the proud, but give grace to the humble. Therefore submit therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hand, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be miserable and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. Bow with me in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for each one that's made their decision to be in your house of worship. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we do have a wonderful place to come and assemble ourselves, the place in which you have appointed, that in which you have set your name. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for all of the ones that have gone before us. Heavenly Father, we ask that you bless the words that we speak and the thoughts that we will express, and help them to help each of us as you would have. And in the name of your Son, Jesus, we ask. Amen. And my text is within my scripture. It's verse 4 of James, verse 3 of James 4. And it reads, you ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it upon your pleasures. You know, that's letting us know right off the bat that a lot of times our prayers to God are not what they should be. Perhaps we don't know how to pray to God and what to pray to God for. But should this stop us from speaking with God, from communing with Him? Absolutely not. It's better to go to God with each and every concern that you have all through your life, no matter if the concerns are small, big, in between. Always go to God for that concerns you. Today I'd like to speak to you on unanswered prayers. And we want to examine that subject, unanswered prayers. Because we know that God loves us. We know that He wants us to go to Him with our petitions and our requests and our thanks and our love and our praise and everything else. But why is it that some prayers may go unanswered? That's not the only scenario. We may think that they are going unanswered, and we may just be in too much of a hurry for them to be answered. Maybe God has not acted upon our prayers at the moment. And another thing is that perhaps we don't recognize that God has answered our prayers when He does, because it may not be exactly what we asked for. It might not be in detail, specifically answered exactly as we requested. So we don't recognize it. But God answered our prayers. Prayers in general need to be more about God's will and less about ours. Do you remember Jesus' prayers? Do you remember how Jesus prayed to His Father and our Father, God? Jesus prayed for the greater good of all to be accomplished. Jesus wanted God's will to be done, His way to prevail. Jesus prayed for love and forgiveness among all. Unanswered prayers are often the result of attitudes and actions needing changed. Unanswered prayers are often the result of attitudes and actions needing changed. We need to pray for God's will and work. Less of our will and wants, for the greater good, for God's will to be done. In thinking about unanswered prayers and the whys and the causes, our scripture points out that selfish requests often go unanswered because it's so much about, do this for me, do this for me. I want, I need. Gimme, gimme, gimme. Selfish requests. In essence, the wrong kind of request. That sort of suggests that sometimes we get a little bit too much within ourselves and within our own perception of what our lives lack, that we perhaps petition God about the wrong things. Let's go to Mark 10. Mark 10 and 35. And James and John, the two sons of Zebedee, came to Him, saying to Him, Teacher, we want You to do for us whatever we ask of You. That's a pretty general request, isn't it? How would you like to go to Jesus and ask Him the same thing? Each one of us would want that. And He said to them, What do you want Me to do for you? And they said to Him, Grant that we may sit in Your glory, one on Your right and one on Your left. But Jesus said to them, You do not know what you're asking for. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized? And they said to Him, We are able. And Jesus said to them, The cup that I drink, you shall drink, And you shall be baptized with a baptism with which I am baptized, but to sit on my right or on my left, this is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared. Do you see that that was a prayer, a request made to Jesus by two of his disciples whom he loved? But yet, it was a prayer from more of a selfish standpoint, wanting honor, maybe ego, esteem, some of the natural things that we want in this life that somehow, sometimes we shouldn't request those kind of things or want those kind of things even within a natural realm. But these were prayers that was asked amiss. They were not worthy. Even though from a natural standpoint, you can see how James and John would have wanted that. Do you think Moses would have been held in high regard of God? Well, certainly, even though Moses was a little bit quick to anger sometimes, a little bit impulsive sometimes. And you know, sometimes even though things like that are relatively innocent, sometimes from God's eyes, we have to pay the price for some of those decisions and actions and attitudes that we have. And I'd say Moses was one of those that had some attitudes and actions that was not quite up to the level that God wanted. God requested things to be done specifically in a precise manner. And if he didn't get it that way, then that's a degree of disobedience, of wrongful action or reaction. And sometimes there's a price to pay. Moses requested to God that he be allowed to go into the promised land, right? Moses asked and thought that he well deserved. I mean, he was a leader. He stayed with the children of Israel and tried to keep them in line the best that he could, even though they were so rebellious. He stayed true to God. He stayed trying to perform the task that God gave him to do of leading the children of Israel those 40 years through the wilderness. He made a few mistakes, and they are recorded well. But he asked of God at the very end that he be allowed to cross Jordan and to go into the promised land. That's not horribly out of line, I don't believe. Don't sound to me from a natural standpoint that it is. A pretty good request of God. Did God answer that request? No. Because Moses had done some things that made that not worthy of God answering that particular quest. But did God answer Moses' prayer in another way? Yes. He did not allow Moses to cross Jordan and go into the land physically, but he allowed Moses to see the land from a mountaintop before Moses' life was over. God answered Moses' prayer, but not specifically detail for detail in the way that Moses presented his prayer to God. But God answered the prayer. What about Mary and Martha and them, their brother Lazarus being sick? And it was a very serious situation, and they called upon Jesus to come. Our brother is in need. He's sick. And the urgency was there to come now. But Jesus tarried a while, right? Jesus did not immediately drop what he was doing and immediately come when he was called on by Mary and Martha to come concerning their sick brother Lazarus. But in the end, Jesus came at his time and in his way and for his purpose. He came, Lazarus was now dead, and Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead when he did come. The prayer was answered, but not in the specific detailed way that Mary and Martha asked, nor to them in the when. They wanted it now. Drop what you're doing, Jesus, and come now. Our brother is sick. But that was not God's plan. That was not Jesus' plan. The greater good was to be revealed in the way that the prayer was answered. What about the Apostle Paul, the great Apostle Paul that wrote most of the New Testament? He requested three times that the thorn that was in his flesh, whatever that was, his sickness or whatever defect, problem, hurt that he had, that God would heal it, would take it away. Was the great Apostle Paul prayer answered that he asked? No. Worthy request. I know all of us would say that's a worthy request. You have a problem, a handicap. You call upon God. You expect Him to answer. You believe all human reasoning He would answer the request. Did He for the Apostle Paul? In that particular instance, the answer was no. He didn't take away the thorn that was troubling Paul. But He did answer the prayer in the sense that He gave him grace to endure the thorn in his flesh. God heard and He answered, but not necessarily in specific instances exactly as it was asked. Selfish requests often go unanswered. Sometimes we ask amiss. Number two, in why some prayers go unanswered, is because we do not go forward with getting sin out of our life. Certain things remain in our lives that we should be working to get the sin out. It hinders our prayers. Let's go to Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59 and 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not so short that it cannot save, neither is His ear so dull that it cannot hear. And listen to this next verse and read it for yourself. But your sins, iniquities, have made a separation between you and your God. And your sins have hidden His face from you so that He does not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken falsehood. Your tongue mutters wickedness. Let's go to Jeremiah 5. We see right there that sins, transgressions within our lives can hinder our prayers. They can separate God from us when we take our request to Him. And He knows our hearts and minds more than we do ourselves. He knows if we are doing what we can, what we should, to get iniquities and sins out of our life. And therefore that has a bearing on His openness and action in our prayers and our requests to Him. Jeremiah 5 and 23. But this people has a stubborn and rebellious heart. They have turned aside and departed. That means they've decided not to keep on walking with God. They have turned aside and departed, went in the other direction. They do not say in their heart, "Let us now fear the Lord our God, who gives rain in its season, both the autumn rain and the spring rain, who keeps for us the appointed weeks of the harvest." Your iniquities, here we go again, your sins have turned these away. Meaning, you won't get the blessings when you want them. You won't get the rain, the early rain when you need it in the spring and for your crops to grow. You won't get the latter rain. You won't get His blessings. Your iniquities have turned these away, and your sins have withheld good from you. I'd say when we go to God with our prayer requests, generally we want His favor. We want His blessings. We want what we perceive as good for us, with God answering our prayers. The third hindrance to our prayers, or a third reason for unanswered prayers: not putting God first. Not so severe that you just turn loose of His hand altogether and start going the opposite way, but that you don't give Him the honor and the respect that we should. You don't put Him first. He wants to be first in your heart and your life. Jesus said, if you don't forsake all and Father and follow Me, take up your cross and follow Me, you're not worthy of Me. The Scriptures is clear. We need to put God first. We need to think of Him first. It may be extremely hard to do when we have husband, wife, children, loved ones. But the words speak what God would have in our best interest. And His way, far above all, far above ours, to put Him first. Let's go to Ezekiel 14 and 3. Ezekiel 14 and verse 3. Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their hearts, and have put right before their faces the stumbling block of their iniquity. Should I be consulted by them at all? This is God speaking. Should I pay attention to them at all? If they just purposely set their sins before their faces and ignore me? Ezekiel 14:3, then 5. In order to lay hold of the hearts of the house of Israel, who are estranged from me through all their idols. Estranged from me, separated from me. Not paying attention, not giving honor and respect to God. And God, in essence, separated from them. Let's go to verse 6. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, we are the house of Israel. We are the children of God. We are as the seed of Abraham. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, repent and turn away from your idols and turn your faces away from all your abominations or sins. Don't have something that's taking place that's in essence number one in your life. Get that out. God expects to be number one. Don't put God in second place or even further down, but keep Him first in your heart and life. Number four, unanswered prayers can be the result of not trying to right a wrong. It can be a hindrance to your prayer when you have things in your life that are not taken care of. Let's go to Luke 19 and verse 8. Luke 19 and verse 8. And Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much. Do you see? If he had done a wrong, then he's saying, I'm going to make it right. And Zacchaeus said that's what he would do. And Jesus reacted favorably to that. We need to try to right the wrongs that perhaps exist in our life because they may be hindering our prayers. Also, not forgiving others. Let's go to Matthew 11:24. Matthew 11 and verse 24 through 26. Nevertheless, I say to you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I praise thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou didst hide these things from the wise and intelligent and didst reveal them to babes. All things have been handed over to I've skipped verse 26. Yes, Father, for thus it was well pleasing in your sight. God expects us to treat others right. God expects us to forgive others. And if we go before God at His altar, then He expects our conscience to be clean, that we have done what He has asked. You know, sometimes, and this is the next part of unanswered prayers, we think within ourselves that God did not hear. Have you ever asked God, submitted to Him a request or a prayer, and it's a while goes by, and we just come to think, well, God didn't hear. And I would say to you there is, when we pray, remind yourself to expect to receive. Expect to receive. And not only that, we sometimes think within ourselves also, not only that He did not hear, but we sometimes think that He will not answer our request. That He did not hear, and He will not answer. We come to think that and believe that. Let's go to James 1 and verse 5. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man expect that he will receive anything of the Lord. And what we're saying there is, number one, when you submit your prayers to God, expect to receive. Perhaps not detail for detail in what you ask, but expect to receive. And not only expect to receive when you're asking something of Him, but don't doubt that you will receive what you ask. The Scripture lets you know, or let not that man think that he will receive anything of the Lord. If you pray to Him and doubt, expect to receive. Don't doubt. Perhaps the greatest hindrance to prayers being answered is within ourselves. We do not sometimes even remember to ask. When we have problems, when we have sicknesses, things come upon us, we run to the doctor first, don't we? Sometimes even before we go to God. Sometimes we forget to go to God at all for whatever it is. Sometimes the problem is within and us. We don't have enough faith and confidence in God and trust Him. To the extent that we remember to go to Him first. James 4 and verse 2. You lust and do not have, so you commit murder. And you are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. Did you know that Satan has a way of getting to us that causes us to forget to go to God? Satan presents things that distract us and what we know that we should do. Satan gets in the way sometimes. And you know something else? Sometimes our loved ones, sometimes our children, sometimes our family, sometimes maybe even the brothers and sisters in the church, sometimes our work. We get so caught up in life and living life and our work and doing for this and that we become too busy to go to God. Too busy to think to go to God and ask for our worthy petitions to Him. I'm going to close a couple of more scriptures. 1 Timothy 2 and 8. 1 Timothy 2 and 8. Therefore, I want the men in every place to pray. Lift up holy hands without wrath and dissension. Should we pray? Always. Should we try to think of only the most worthiest thing to pray for, or else we don't pray? Is that the point? No, it isn't. Let's go to God for all of our needs. But let's also use this information that we've received this morning and how God looks at things, how He answers things, what's important to Him also. But don't hesitate to go to God with any and everything at any moment of your day. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Pray without ceasing. That sort of reinforces what we read in Psalm about King David going around constantly with communication with God, with prayers in his heart, seemingly at every moment of the day. Pray without ceasing. In closing, I'd like to read you this little poem that does not have an author, or the author is unknown. And it's called Take Time to Pray, based on James 4 and 2. I got up early one morning and rushed right into the day. I had so much to accomplish that I didn't have time to pray. Problems came tumbling about me, and heavier came each task. Why doesn't God help? I wondered. He answered, "You didn't ask." I wanted to see joy and beauty, but the day toiled on, gray and bleak. I wondered why God didn't show me. He said, "But you didn't ask. You didn't seek." I tried to come into God's presence. I used all my keys at the lock. God gently and lovingly chided, "My child, you didn't knock." I woke up early this morning and paused before entering the day. I had so much to accomplish that I had to take time to pray. If you would, stand with me.